Here on the Ides of March, we're giving away a sealed copy of Killzone 2. Find out how to win. Plus, World of Warcraft has been put on notice. Pay up or go to court. All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwolf Show, week of March 15th, 2009. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Kamari, Catalarm, that game.
Bobby Blackwolf, back at DragonCon 2005.
I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwolf.
Hello, hello. Everybody live's freaking out because we actually changed out our little up next thing that you guys don't hear on the podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You are joining us live here on All Games Radio. I want to welcome you. Head on over to chat.allgames.com. I will be reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Our Skype line, all one word, is Bobby Blackwolf Show, free voice over IP software, or you can call us toll-free in North America, 1-866-880-0156. If you're listening to us in the podcast feed, blackwolf@allgames.com is our email address. And I'll go ahead and play this again for people, if you listen to us on the podcast feed, you actually don't get to hear this one little part of the show that only the live people hear. And this was done by KDog96 a while ago, and we finally put it in. And this is what actually people hear when they tune in to right before we go on the air live on allgames.com.
All Games Radio is now broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. Up next, the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
You don't get to hear that part, and then the actual show starts. Anyway, so let's talk about what came out this week. Resident Evil 5 came out, and we didn't get a chance to play it. We were going to play it on Friday Night Gaming, and it just didn't happen. So then our second choice, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on in the show, we couldn't get a hold of that either. Because Resident Evil 5 came out on Friday, we were actually unable to get it through our like distributor and stuff like that, because I mean we work with CC Gaming, which is a retail gaming store, so they didn't actually get their Resident Evil 5 copies until after Friday, so we weren't able to run it. And our second choice we are going to be running this week, and we're going to talk about that because there's a news story about this second title. So we played Peggle. Finally came out on Xbox Live Arcade, the ultimate casual game that apparently it's okay to like. Unicorns and rainbows abound. It's glorified pachinko. If you've never played Peggle, it's basically pachinko. It finally came out on the Xbox Live Arcade. Now, if you've played Peggle Deluxe on the PC, it's been out for about 2 years. This is exactly the same game. It is a very faithful port of that. There is a Peggle Extreme that is free on Steam on PC, which is Half-Life themed, or it's Orange Box themed, actually, with Team Fortress characters and a head crab eating the unicorn's head and stuff. It's very funny, but it's only a couple, like 15 stages. What they did add in Xbox Live Arcade is the Peg Party mode, which is surprisingly fun. And a lot of us here in the community have actually been playing Peg Party mode. Peg Party mode is you're trying to clear a level of pegs. The object of the game is you want to clear all the orange pegs off the board. That's the object of the game. You fire at the top, and you know the ball bounces off pegs and bricks and other things. So you're trying to clear off a board, and everybody's doing their shot at the same time on their own version of the board. And it's basically who can get the highest score, and keeps track after every shot. And you can actually watch other people's shots in kind of a spectator mode. And then at the end, it shows like the best shot, the one that got the most money or the most points, not money. And it's surprisingly a lot of fun. It's one of those games where you can actually just have a conversation with somebody. It's kind of like Uno in that regard, where it's pretty simple. You're only going to be playing, doing something with the game for about a couple seconds, and then it's just, BSing with your friends. So that's kind of what Uno brought to the table way back when everybody was playing Uno like 2 years ago. Of course, that was also because it was the only Xbox Live Arcade game. This was before they realized that Xbox Live Arcade was actually going to be something people wanted. So Uno was like the first game we got in like 5 months, and the only game we had for like 3 months after that, only new game. So Peggle, it's out for 800 points. If you've never played Peggle before and it seems kind of interesting to you, I think it's well worth it, especially if you have friends that play it. There are people in the All Games community that play it, so I'd recommend it. But it is a port, a direct port of Peggle Deluxe. It really doesn't bring anything new to the table. It's not going to satisfy your blood and guts and gore and stuff like that. It's not going to be a shooter. It's pachinko. That's all it is. So I'm not going to give it any kind of a review or anything. It is what it is. There's a demo out there. The demo will let you see enough levels that you kind of see what it is. So it really is just Peggle. Misty says, sadly, Peggle is still crack-like. Dark Tetsuya says, he hasn't played Peggle yet. He's still too busy with Street Fighter 4. Hitstun says, Peggle works great on any platform, no matter how limited the controls. They could make an Atari 2600 version, and the paddle controller would control it great. And see, that is one of the things that some people were worried about, was because Peggle, when you have the mouse, you can actually really exactly see where you're firing, which is not something that you can do as easily with a controller. But they ported the control well, especially for precision aiming, which you really have to do if you're going to be a Peggle master. And there's timing involved. There's a bowl at the bottom that goes left and right, and if you get the ball in that bowl, then you don't lose the ball. You get a free ball, basically. So the object really is to hit as many pegs you can and get the ball in the hole, or in that big bowl thing. That's really the object of the game. And, I think the controls ported pretty well over. I mean, it's not a very difficult concept. Hendrix says, it's not even pachinko, it's just plain awesome. Mako says, my mother loves Peggle more than World of Warcraft. I got the local gaming center staff staying in for 3 hours after closing to keep playing Peggle. And, even at Computer Arena, where I do my Friday night show, they recommend Peggle to everybody. They have Peggle on all the PCs. And, I've actually sat in there and played Peggle before I've actually bought it myself on Xbox Live Arcade. I actually played the PC version for a while at the gaming center, and that was one of the few games that I really wanted to play out of their selection. I mean, they have all the MMOs, and they have all the first-person shooters and stuff, but I was sitting there playing Peggle. What up, G asked, did anybody check out the Street Fighter 4 GameStop tourneys? I think they are now down to sending the winners out to Cali. And, congratulations to the Rob D, who is the host of one of our shows here on All Games Radio. Street Fighter 4 tournaments have been going on at GameStops. He actually made it to the regionals in Chicago. And I'm pretty sure he didn't make it past regionals. But he was actually downtown in Chicago Saturday night. He made it all the way there. And I think he got whooped, but because I don't think he's going on, we would have heard about it. But congratulations to the Rob D for getting that far in the GameStop tournament. Hooray. And Game Guru says, Peggle is fun. I've got Peggle Extreme off of Steam. Peggle Extreme is a great way to try it out. It's got a lot of variations of levels. It's free on Steam. It was a pre-order bonus for the Orange Box on PC, but they've now, since you can't pre-order the Orange Box anymore, they just made Peggle Extreme free. So that's the best way to try it on Steam. Free download for your PC. We're giving away a game, though, that is not Peggle. It is the antithesis of Peggle. It's Killzone 2. 5 out of 5 stars, says PlayStation, the official magazine. That's what it says on the front of the case here. I actually got it sent to me by ZakuPilot 256, who's one of our fans over, and he works at Sony. He works in the marketing department at Sony now. So we have a friend in the marketing business now. And it is Zaku Pilot, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to send you Killzone 2. And I'm like, I don't like first-person shooters. He's like, well, I'm going to send you Killzone 2. I'm like, you realize if you send this to me, I'm going to give it away. He's like, yeah, that's fine. So I have Killzone 2 to give away, and it is a sealed copy, so I'm assuming it works. I haven't opened it because I have no need to. It just got here Friday. 5 out of 5 stars, says PlayStation, the official magazine. I have no clue why, of all the ratings, they put the official PlayStation magazine on the front. I mean, maybe somebody else could have given it 5 out of 5 that wasn't tied to being officially PlayStation. But hey, Killzone 2, it's right here. Basically, the way that I do contests like this is I like to involve both the chat and the podcast audience. What you're going to do to enter this contest, you're going to email me, blackwolf@allgames.com. That is the email address, and you're going to send me your PlayStation Network ID. This is because I want to kind of make sure that you have a PlayStation 3 and that you don't already have Killzone 2. Because, frankly, you know, to be honest, this was, he actually, the reason I have this from ZakuPilot is because he had tried to do something kind of official with us through Sony, and it fell through, so he actually bought a copy and sent it to me. So this is not, like, from Sony, this is actually from him. So I don't want his $60, because he paid full price for it, I don't want his $60 to go to waste, to go to somebody who doesn't have a PS3 and is just going to sell the game, or who already has Killzone 2 and just wants another copy to sell it to somebody else. Because I think it's really cool what he's done, and so I kind of want to make sure that it's going to go to a loving home, somebody who will love Killzone 2. So what you're going to do, you're going to email me with your PlayStation Network ID, and you're going to answer me this question, which is probably one you can find on Google, but serious fans of Killzone probably already know the answer to this. So the trivia question is, on at their E3 2007 demo, it was stated that one of the on-screen character models had as many polygons as what? So that's the question. In the E3 2007 demo of Killzone 2, one of the on-screen character models was said to have just as many polygons as what? Blackwolf@allgames.com. Email me that. Email me your PlayStation Network ID so I can verify that you are real, a real PS3 owner who would like Killzone 2. And we'll announce the winner somehow next week, randomly. Usually I get somebody to just pick a random number and they don't know who they're choosing. So, yep. Information on that will also be in the show notes, except for the actual question. The question you're going to have to listen to the show. So, let's talk about some MMO news. Because I always like to bring up, you know, when MMOs kind of are in trouble. Because I don't like MMOs, personally. You may, and I have no problem with that. I played MMOs a lot. It seems that there's trouble in MMO paradise. First off, Gamasutra reports that Warhammer Online developer Mythic Entertainment is to close a total of 63 servers for their game, with 43 to go in North America and Oceania and 20 in Europe. The closures are part of an ongoing effort to consolidate the game's online population, which started some months ago with a free transfer offer to more popular servers. The now compulsory moves have been completed this week, and the empty servers are set to close. Mythic was recently forced to confirm layoffs in the customer service and customer support and quality assurance teams, although the developer insisted that this was not unusual for a post-launch massively multiplayer online game. Although Warhammer Online attracted 500,000 registrations in its launch week, current subscriber levels are now at 300,000. Both Mythic and publisher Electronic Arts have indicated that they remain committed to the game. So they're shutting down 63 servers. They've already had to move those populations over. Now, the reason that this happened with Warhammer Online, which is a little bit different than why this might have happened with other games, basically, is that Warhammer Online was committed to doing a smooth launch. And what they did is what everybody, all the whiners in the MMO world, this is exactly what they want people to do. Because what happens when a game first launches is that everybody goes out and tries the game, and suddenly, you know, you have queues to get into the server, you have to wait times and all that stuff. And everybody's like, why can't they have enough servers to handle the population? And what I always said is, because, you know, that's only a spike in the beginning, and then everything's going to bottom out, and or not bottom out, but everything's going to level out, and they actually probably have enough servers for the subscriber base they plan to have in the long term. And they said, well, you know, why can't they, blah, blah, blah. So Warhammer Online actually launched with so many more servers than they knew that they needed just to have a smooth online launch, and they succeeded. It had a smooth online launch. But now that the subscriber levels have leveled out, now everybody's bitching that all the servers are closing. They have to move to another server and all that stuff. And, you know, it's one of those, you know, gamers will never be happy type of things, because, you know, they bitch in the beginning if there's not enough servers to handle the population, and now they're bitching because there was enough servers to handle population at launch, and now there's not. And, you know, in a game like Warhammer Online, I'm pretty sure that, yeah, this is the one I tried, that relies on PvP to, have PvE elements, you know, even if you don't PvE, or even if you don't PvP in Warhammer Online, you are affected by what's going on in PvP, in terms of, like, prices and shops and stuff like that. So you really kind of need to have an active population on each server, and they didn't have that, and so they had to close down the servers. So it's one of those, it's no-win situation. Either you don't have enough servers at launch, or you have too many several months down the line. So it's kind of interesting to see that, you know, somebody actually implemented what everybody complained about, and, you know, kind of when somebody rational would bring up, well, you know, this is why they don't have 8 million servers at launch, they said, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, you know, exactly, that's exactly what happened, and now everybody's complaining. So, you know, maybe if you're an MMO player, I want to know this, if you're in our chat room or calling in, would you prefer to have longer wait times, longer wait times to get into servers when a game first launches, so you can still stay on your same server several months after everybody leaves? Or would you rather have them have enough servers at launch to handle the load and then scale back several months later? Game Guru says, basically MMO fans will bitch if it isn't just like WoW, and then they will bitch even more if it is WoW. Mako says, I bought Age of Conan on the day of release. I got the collector's edition with the added cloak of free drinks and a ring of XP adding. I even had to upgrade my PC to play it. It still played badly months later, and I left. Character creation rocked, though. X-Link says, they need to bring back Myst Uru. Uru Live? I think somebody is. Somebody got that code, like a fan site or something, or a fan population or whatever, and they're actually bringing back the Myst Uru server. So you're going to want to check them out. Because GameTap ended the Uru Live service, but Cyan, the developers, got, you know, they own the code and stuff, and I guess they worked out a deal with one of the biggest Myst Uru fan sites, and they are working to bring it back. TDB30 says they need to plan for a seamless migration so the players never know their servers were changed. And that's one of the things, is that you always, in an MMO, when you actually know, like, the other people on the server, especially if you're high level, you kind of know who the other clans and guilds are on the server. You will notice if another high level group, high level guild, just appears on your server. You'll notice. Or you'll notice if another high level guild was not on your server or something like that. You know, EverQuest, at least when it lowered servers, they actually said this server and this server is merging into one. I think that what they're doing here on Warhammer Online is that they're actually saying, you know, some of these people are going to go here and some of these people are going to go here. I don't know. They're redistributing things, and that's kind of why they were doing the free, you know, hey, you can choose what server you want to go to, but then they're going to just randomly, I think they're just going to randomly select. I didn't actually look at that part of the story. I just looked at this first part. Mako says, I'm surprised there aren't any major MMOs that have, or, oh, he says many major MMOs that have one single coherent universe that everyone populates and everyone gets populated. Example, the Seamless Spreadsheet Simulator, EVE Online. I believe, I want to say Anarchy Online also has only one world. They had two when it first launched. They had Rubika 1 and Rubika 2, which is the name of the planet in Anarchy Online. But everybody played on one. So it was pretty much like it was just one seamless environment. I don't know if that's still the case now that it's free and ad-supported. But EVE Online does have one coherent universe that everybody plays on. So let's talk about WoW. Because WoW has been put on notice. World of Warcraft, Activision, Blizzard, they've been put on notice by patent trolls. Business Insider reports that Worlds.com CEO Thom Kildren is putting the entire virtual worlds industry on notice. His company claims the idea of a scalable virtual world with thousands of users is its patented intellectual property, and Thom told us he intends to sue anyone who refuses to enter into licensing negotiations, including giants such as Second Life and World of Warcraft. Korean gaming firm NCSoft, maker of City of Heroes and Guild Wars, has already been sued by Worlds in East Texas, which is a jurisdiction infamous for intellectual property circles for plaintiff-friendly rulings in patent cases. He says that if he succeeds in this litigation, he absolutely intends to pursue follow-up suits against industry leaders Second Life and WoW. Last December, Worlds.com claimed to hold a patent for the virtual worlds idea dating from the 1990s. You know, and then there were, you know, things like Second Life was a brainchild of Linden Labs founder Philip Rosedale, who pitched the idea for years before gaining the VC funding. So, you know, prior art, people thought that was there. But Thom filled Business Insider in on its backstory. Back in 1997, a developer created the Steven Spielberg-backed Starbright World, part of the Starlight Starbright Foundation's work with seriously ill children. Even in the fledgling virtual worlds industry, very few people heard of Starbright World because its creators shunned publicity, seeing their product as a private wonderland for sick kids. Eventually, a collection of Starbright patents, which don't cover virtual worlds per se, but an architecture for enabling thousands of simultaneous users in a 3D virtual space, passed from the original creators to the current Worlds.com management. Lawyers from General Patent Corporation encouraged the Worlds.com team to aggressively pursue licensing deals. I wonder if they get a cut, and that's why. He insists that he's not out to put anyone out of business. He just wants to be paid licensing fees for what he considers his lawful intellectual property. And also, Business Insider consulted legal experts like virtual law author Ben Duransky about the case, and Worlds.com may have a tough time in court based on a wealth of prior art available to any patent defense. So this is, we actually covered this initially when Worlds.com sued NCSoft. This was right when Richard Garriott was leaving. I mean, NCSoft was basically down for the count, and here comes Worlds.com saying, hey, you're a good first target. And I basically said that, you know, if the industry wanted to band together, and, you know, I know that there's competition out there, but believe it or not, a lot of these people that work at these companies do, you know, share drinks together at conventions and stuff. And if they wanted to band together, Sony Online Entertainment and Activision Blizzard and, you know, any of these other big name, deep pocketed publishers that have legal fees should come to NCSoft's defense, because all it takes is the first one to go down. And, you know, I actually think that Sony Online Entertainment and Activision Blizzard and them, they should send their legal teams to assist NCSoft in defending themselves against this patent. Because if NCSoft settles or, you know, loses the case in East Texas, then that's, you know, they're going to have a very hard time stopping them from suing World of Warcraft and Second Life and EverQuest and any of these other games that are out there, because all it takes is that one to set the precedent. And so I really think that instead of, if Activision Blizzard were smart and cared about the industry, which they do, I do know that they do, the Blizzard people do, they would be proactive and assist NCSoft in this, rather than waiting for NCSoft to go down and then getting sued by Worlds.com, especially now that the CEO has stated on record that he is going to go after WoW if he defeats NCSoft. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So this is something to keep an eye on. This limits a lot of things. It's mostly about 3D avatars. It's not really about the MMO per se, but it's about, you know, calculating where 3D avatars are in a virtual space. We actually went over what the patent really was back in December when the initial story broke. Mako says, if the patent trolls did manage to sue the bejesus out of Blizzard and manage to shut down World of Warcraft, I guess they'd be happy with a ton of money for all of 15 seconds before the moaning masses of WoW describers kill them with mouse clicks. AlphaBox says, I drew a picture once of all my friends playing games. I must now go sue them if they ever play a game. Dark Tetsuya says, indeed, you give them an inch and it's all over. Game Guru says, actually, this could threaten any 3D game. No, it couldn't threaten any 3D game, because the entire technology behind the patent is how to scale for thousands, like literally like high numbers of people. This is not going to affect, you know, say, Killzone 2, which you can have like 64 people in one. I think it's either 32 or 64. I can't remember. I don't know if the back of the box says it, but I'm not going to read the fine print. But it's not going to affect those smaller ones. This is more about scalability up to thousands of people, how to display them on the screen. That's pretty much what it is, you know, basically how to determine where somebody else's avatar is on the screen in relation to you when there's thousands of avatars. That's what the patent is about. So it really doesn't affect, you know, your console shooter games. It really affects MMOs with large environments and scalable worlds. So one last story that I want to talk about. This is the game that we're actually going to hopefully be running this week on Friday Night Gaming. We're going to have a little bit longer time to try to get a hold of it since it came out last week. Mad World for the Wii. So Mad World is one of these games that the hardcore gamers really have been looking forward to for quite some time. The trailers show like a dude with a chainsaw in black and white and lots of blood and everywhere. Well, not everybody is happy that this game exists. IGN reports that hardcore gamers have been anxiously awaiting Mad World for a long time, but not everyone is happy to see the stylish, kill-happy game arrive. The National Institute on Media and the Family, or NIMF, issued a press release this morning complaining that Nintendo has, quote, shed its family-friendly reputation with Mad World's release, unquote. I guess they, anyway, let's read their quote. This is from the National Institute of on Media and the Family. Quote, the release of Mad World for the Wii bring violent video games to a once family-friendly platform. In Mad World, gamers use the Wii Remote to make the necessary physical actions to chainsaw an opponent in half, impale an enemy with a signpost, or decapitate a victim with a golf club. Awesome. Mad World is another reminder that parents need to make sure that they watch what their kids play and watch what their kids play. Wait. Okay. No, I read that wrong. They need to make sure that they watch what their kids watch and play what their kids play. In the past, the Wii has successfully sold itself as being the gaming console for the entire family and a way to bring family game nights back into people's living rooms. Unfortunately, Nintendo opens its doors to violent video game genre. The National Institute on Media and the Family hopes that Nintendo does not lose sight of its initial audience and continues to offer quality family-friendly games, unquote. The initial audience for Nintendo was actually like people like me back in the 80s. Just wanted to say that. Now, obviously, the National Institute of Media and the Family have never played or heard of No More Heroes, or Manhunt 2, or Red Steel, or any of these games that were created for a specific segment of each person's family, the 20 to 30-year-old male. Nintendo is not, even though most of the games on the shelf, in fact, probably 98% of the games on the shelf are made for family game night, there are 2% of games out there that have blood and guts and gore. And Mad World is in that 2%. Just like there are, you know, VHS tapes that depict blood and guts and gore, but you're not going to say that the VCR is a family-friendly console. Same with DVD. I mean, obviously I'm preaching to the choir here on the show, but I just thought that this was really funny that they said that Mad World has finally had Nintendo open up to violent video games, even though, you know, there have been violent video games on the Wii that the National Institute of Media and Family has actually rallied against, like Manhunt 2. And, you know, I can't wait for them to make a press release about Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars, which is coming out on the DS this week. Nintendo is trying to throw a bone to the hardcore audience, and they're upsetting the casual audience, because heaven forbid these games exist. You know, no rational hardcore player, at least to me, and most hardcore gamers aren't really that rational, but a rational hardcore gamer isn't really upset that the mini-game compilations like Carnival Games and crap like that, I don't think they're upset that those exist. They just wish that there were more games for them on the console, and then those other games can exist. I'm kind of the same way. I know that games like Imagine Babies and crap like that is funding Beyond Good and Evil 2, so I have no problem with those games existing. You know, they're using the casual games, making millions of dollars on these casual games to fund the games that I want to play that probably won't sell as well. But apparently, it's horrible that these games just even exist on the console that has 200 minigame collections. Heaven forbid, three games exist that have blood and guts. Shame on you, Nintendo! And if you want to know what Mad World is, tune into Friday Night Gaming, fnglive.net, here Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Game Bureau also adds Bully was on the Wii. Shadow Charlie says House of the Dead Overkill was released on the Wii. Tiger Claw says Mad World is basically Smash TV meets The Running Man. Now I'm even more intrigued. ActDev says the internet is a very, very friendly and family-safe place. There is no harassment, nor violence, nor porn here. Mako says, what family-friendly reputation? I didn't see baby-changing facilities in Super Paper Mario. You didn't look close enough. Tigerclaw says, I saw live gameplay of Mad World. That's got to be the bloodiest game ever made. However, the violence is more cartoonish than realistic due to the art style. It does look like a black and white or a white on black drawn, at least the trailers. So we are going to have live gameplay for 3 straight hours on Friday Night Gaming. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to take your calls on anything, on any topic. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on allgames.com. Woohoo! It's number one.
I'm not Chatterbox Video Game Radio is number one.
I'm number one. The heck with everybody else. You're listening to the Great Radio Show. Now have a rotten day.
Still no bumpers. So I was going to throw that one on you. If you want to leave a bumper so I don't play that one in Sully's bumper over and over and over again, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. Say your name and something about coming back to the Bobby Blackwell Show, and we'll put some music behind it and put it on the air. You can email it to me, blackwolf@allgames.com. Email me an MP3 with no music, and I'll put music behind it. You can even email it along with your entry into the Killzone 2 tournament. Earlier in the show, we told you exactly how to enter and what you need to provide to enter that random drawing. So I'm going to go ahead and open up our phone lines and our Skype line. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. If you want to call in and talk about anything going on in the gaming industry, it's all fair game. We're here, and we're waiting for you to tell us how we're wrong, how we're right. If there was something you wanted us to cover that we didn't, if you've played Mad World, you can call in and talk about it. It's all fair game. So we do have a call here on the line. I'm going to go ahead and take it. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hi, this is Designator.
Designator, so what's on your mind this week, man?
I just had one quick question. I got a surround sound system hooked up to my gaming systems, and unfortunately, when I bought it, I didn't realize that it didn't have one of those digital optical input thingies.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, the only way to truly get surround sound with my games is if I have one of those connections. Is there any way to pre-rig something so I would be able to get surround sound, or basically am I SOL?
So does your receiver not have the optical connection? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it has no optical connection. Basically, the only thing it has is two jacks similar to what you would use with headphones, and it has the RCA jack. That's about it. It's mainly used more than anything right now for playing DVDs, more than anything.
Okay, so it has the digital input instead of the optical, is what you're saying?
I don't know if if digital and optical are basically the same thing, or if they're totally different types of connections. I basically use the terms interchangeably. Like I said, the only thing only kind of inputs are the headphone type jacks, the mini the mini plugs, mm-hmm. and the RCA jacks. And it has a couple different types of outputs, like HDMI, mm-hmm. and SVO and component, so I can output the video to TV, but it has practically nothing in terms of input, though.
Does it have HDMI input?
Not that I've seen, no.
Okay. Because you can either get surround sound from your game consoles either over an optical jack or an HDMI jack. HDMI has both video and audio on it. So, the headphone-type plugs, if those are surround plugs, that's your digital surround. And then the optical surround is a different type of plug. That's what you see on the back of the PlayStation 3 and the old PS2s and on the back of the 360 connector. So I don't know if like a converter exists that goes from optical to digital. Like if there's a wire that takes an optical output and puts it into a digital input, which is what sounds like you have. I don't know off the top of my head if one of those exists. You may want to try Google for that one.
Yeah, I'll definitely give it a try. I just happened to see the Sony surround sound system at local Target a few months back, and it was only like $300, and I figured, it's affordable. I could use surround sound to go with my video games, but unfortunately, I didn't take into consideration it may not necessarily have the types of connections I would need,
Yeah.
All right. Well, Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no problem. Tiger Claw says it's actually called Coaxial Digital Out, so that may help on your in your Google search. They're Coaxial Digital is the round plugs. Those sound like the ones you have on your box. So, cool. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you very much.
So, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. If you want to call in and talk about anything in the gaming industry or stump me with a hardware question, that's awesome, too. I apologize that I'm not that much of a wealth of knowledge on specific things, but it's a good thing to try, is Google. Tiger Claw does say, if you're still listening, monoprice.com actually has a wire that goes from optical output to this coaxial digital input that it sounds like you have on the back of your receiver. So you may want to look on monoprice.com to find it, or if you're in chat, he posted the link in chat. Hendrick says, the Bobby Blackwolf Tech Support Show. Hey, that's what we do on Friday nights. It's like call for help for consoles. We have most people, if they call into to my Friday night show, it's all to ask hardware questions to Glenn. This past week, we actually did repair a Nintendo Entertainment System. We actually repaired one by accident and then repaired one for real. Actually, like, fixed the pin connectors in it without having to install a new pin connector set. And we talked all about it and talked about why blowing on the cartridge does nothing. So we do have one more call here on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and take it. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
This is X-Link.
X-Link, what is on your mind, man?
I need the problem with my laser disc player. No, I'm just kidding about that part. But
you flip it.
No, I'm talking about back in the day. I thank you first off for telling me about the Miss Uru. I did not know. I haven't been on the website lately. I did realize that was back from December when they talked about putting out the open source code for the game. So I did play it. That's the only reason why I subscribed to GameTap. And then, of course, my laptop decided to crap out on me, so I didn't get the last half of the game before they decided to close it down and say goodbye to everybody. So my question is that I have a question for you. I just want to see your opinion on this. How do you feel about people cheating? Supposedly now there's a software program out to cheat for Fallout 3 to get all the achievements, including the achievements for even what even has come out to next week, the Pit. I've seen people who have been using it and been getting all the achievement points for it, and I think pretty much that's wrong, and I'm just wondering, is there any kind of legality that somebody could do for that? I mean,
they've already done this once.
Is that actually legal, or?
No, it's legal. There's no, like, they can't get arrested for it, but this has happened before. In fact, there was a very famous gamertag by the name of Strip Club DJ. He was the first person to break 100,000 achievement points, and he did it all by cheating. And what Microsoft does, and they still do this, and they did a whole round of this initially, is that they set all of your gamer points to zero. This is kind of funny. This is kind of ingenious. They don't ban you, I don't think. They set all of your game. They set all the achievements that you've already gotten, if they've caught you cheating, to it shows zero gamer points, but you can't get any of those achievements back. And then they label your account as a cheater. So anybody who looks at your gamer card can actually see that you are an achievement cheater. And they already have this in place. They've been doing it before. So if people are doing this to get all the Fallout 3 achievements, and if it's catchable,
because I've seen a couple of people who had that on their gamer tag, and I'm like, wait a minute, how the heck did they get the ones for the Pit yet? And the Pit hasn't been released until next week. So, I mean, it's not like they're working for the company. I mean,
right.
So,
I mean, I bet press copies are already out, but unless you have a lot of press people on your list. But no, I mean, if they cheated to get them and Microsoft can, you know, prove that they cheated, they'll just zero out their gamer points, label them as a cheater, and let them go on with life. There's no legal ramifications needed because, I mean, it's not like currency or anything. It's just a little number.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've seen some of the chat on chat right now. They're talking about the new trailer. Yeah, the trailer looks awesome. I just watched it earlier on tonight, and I'm looking forward to it when it comes out here next week. So, but now I was kind of curious about that because I did see that. I did hear people talk about it in some of the forums and stuff like that, and I'm like, no, I'm not even going to do that. That's too risky. So I'm like, I'd rather do it the legal way and feel happy that I unlocked everything. So, but now that was my only question pretty much. So,
all right. Thank you.
I'll let you go.
All right.
Nope. No problem.
Thank you.
Yep.
And so Bloodshot actually says it isn't a program or a cheat. You can do that from the console in the game. I don't know. If it's something from in the game, then everything I just said is wrong. That'd be kind of interesting. I didn't know there was a console in the 360 version. I know it's... unless you're talking about the PC version. That would be interesting. If I guess I should have asked that before X-Link. Are these people playing the PC version or the 360 version? Because the PC version has a console that you can come up and type in commands and stuff. The 360 version obviously doesn't have that console, so it'd be kind of interesting to know if they're playing the PC or the 360, since the PC uses games for Windows Live. That'd be kind of interesting to know. But coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio, three people out in Sacramento talking about games in their own way. They spend a lot longer than I do, and we usually try to check out with them and see what's going on before they go on the air. Orange Lounge Radio, you guys there?
Yes, we're here, Bobby. How you doing?
I'm doing good. So, what's up? What are you guys? What's up this week? What have you been playing? Peggle?
Yes, I have been playing Peggle, Peg Crack. I just checked it out. I was a little late because I was gone for a few days this week, but I got home on Friday and I was checking out Peggle. Yeah, it's well, you know, I was already playing it on PopCap's website and, you know, the countless other websites they partner with. So, you know, the game itself was no new surprise, but I like with this one that, unlike kind of being a direct port as Bejeweled 2 and Zuma were, they kind of added some things that are very unique to the Xbox, such as the multiplayer mode, which I really have yet to try, but, you know, I know it's there and have a general idea how it works.
It's fun. It's fun.
I'm going to definitely have to check that out at some point. Peggle was, I know a lot of people were eagerly anticipating that game, so I'm glad it finally made it this week.
Yeah, we all knew it was going to come out like sometime in March, because there's that PopCap collection that's coming out, I think, like later this month or early next month. Loki would probably know more about like when exactly it's coming out. And Peggle was in it, so we're like, well, it has to be released on the arcade before then. And then we all got worried because the Spring Fever, not Spring Fever, that's PlayStation, but whatever their spring promotion is for Xbox Live Arcade games didn't actually list Peggle. And so we're like, when are they going to throw it in?
And it was kind of a surprise they didn't give it a little more advance notice with as much anticipation as it had. But, yeah, the thing's going to sell either way. They don't really need to have this big build-up to it, although I guess that's what they're doing for the other games. So, who knows?
Peggle doesn't need the build-up. Everybody knows it's just pachinko.
Exactly. You know, funny enough, Loki isn't able to comment right now. I hate to say this, Bobby, because I heard you talking about it earlier in the show, but he's actually playing Mad World right now on Justin TV, checking it out. And this is the first time I've even seen this at all, but it's quite violent. I think you guys are going to have fun at the gaming center in a couple weeks.
Yes.
When we'll have a lot longer to check this out than we usually do. Oh my God, Loki just snapped. Like, he yanked so hard on the cord, like just now, he pulled the cord out of the Wiimote and almost smacked the monitor on his laptop. We almost had a Wii injury here in studio.
I like the splashy blood.
Are you using the wrist strap?
No, of course he doesn't use the wrist strap. He lives dangerously. But, this is a very stylized kind of game. It's, you know, and you can tell it from the screenshots. There's nothing, if you look on our Justin TV now, you're not going to see anything that's going to shock you. You may see violence that shocks you, but as far as the look of the game, if you've seen screenshots, it's not any different. But it definitely has a very, like with all these little pop-up boxes that come up and everything, a very comic book feel to it. So, this looks interesting.
Well, we'll be doing it on Friday Night Gaming. Do you think that Nintendo is the Antichrist for allowing this on their console?
No, Nintendo is not the Antichrist for allowing this on their console. Quite the opposite, in fact. They're just doing what they need to do to win back some of the fanboys. Although this isn't a first-party game, so it's not really Nintendo.
Right. It's published by Sega.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So Sega, therefore, is the Antichrist.
There we go.
And they did ruin Sonic. I mean, there is kind of a... you could make a better case there.
So what else are you guys going to be talking about other than playing Mad World? So you guys are turning into Friday Night Game. You're going to play a game during the show that people can watch?
We don't usually go all night long because, you know, we're trying to actually do the show, so we can't play. We usually keep it to our breaks, our pre-show or post-show, so we can't do the marathons like you guys can on Friday Night Gaming. You know, I actually, although usually, because you come on really early here West Coast time, so it's very rare I can get home in time to catch a lot of the show, I did check out the night you guys were doing the little Big Planet level.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really cool. Like, even though I played the level and I was like, WTF, I thought it was still really cool that you guys, you know, were able to put that together during the show. And, you know, you had, you have such a big space to work with there that you, you know, you had the guys, you know, coming in to actually build the level. That was cool because, you know, we do Orange Lounge Radio at my house, so I don't think we really want strangers coming in here, so...
Yeah, that's why I'm you know, afraid if we ever have to, like, come back to my house. I'm not going to do an AGI thing and do this show from my garage. I'm sorry.
I understand. But you have two shows. So if anything ever happened to Friday Night Gaming, you'd still always have the Bobby Blackwolf show.
Then I have all the camera equipment.
You never know. You never know what you might get out of that. There's always trade shows and things of that sort. PAX and E3. You're going on what? You're, like, fourth year now?
For my show?
Yeah,
it's going to be 4 years this summer.
Well, congratulations to you. That's a long time.
It's not as long as yours. Well, you guys are going on, like, year 30?
Well, clearly we're insane. But for the same people, Bobby, you're doing a great job. Year 7 this year for us.
So what's going on tonight?
Tonight, amongst the years and years of madness, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the Xbox 360, including a new shoot-'em-up that's going to be released in Japan, the odds of it coming out over here. Plus, apparently, now you can modify your Xbox 360 to be a bong. Yes, we are the more adult on after Bobby Blackwolf, but we would only use it to smoke tobacco products, of course. Also,
I want an Xbox hookah.
That could be a possibility, too. Talking about the Wii, a really interesting title coming out on WiiWare, Bit Trip Beat. Have you seen this game, Bobby?
No, I haven't. No. Is this popping music?
It is Pong meets a music game. It's fascinating. We're going to talk about that on the show tonight, because I'm definitely interested in checking this out. I might have to break my boycott. It looks that interesting to me.
You're such a weak man.
I know. I really am.
Excellent. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. OrangeLoungeRadio.com is where you can check the podcast or just listen to them right here on All Games Radio. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, Bobby, as always. Take care, buddy.
So that's it for us. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific here on All Games Radio. So you can catch us live and interact with the show directly at allgames.com. Friday nights is Friday Night Gaming. You've heard about it a lot tonight. I apologize. FNGlive.net, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on Fridays. It's both video and audio. You can leave us a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper if you're using our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show, or you can email me at blackwolf@allgames.com, not just your thoughts, opinions, and bumpers, but also the answer to our Killzone 2 question. Also, with your PSN ID, you can win a copy of Killzone 2. We're going to give out a winner next week. Or join our official forums over at allgames.com to take part in the community. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of our chatters. ChrisPhil1724, DCNate, GK128, Hendrix, The Rob D, Burr, Channel Z, D5T, ESWAT, Funnydale, Kitsune, Mako, Maximilian, Shadows Liar, Stone Raider, Tiger Claw, Toshin, ActDef, AGN, Ake Ripper, Alpha Box, Alpha Cananagram, Alt, Amaze Satsuma, Analog Outrage, Ash Fox, Bacon Bits, Billy Dent, Okevil 5, Binary 667, Bloodshot Robot, Breastlull, Cidabria, Crispy, Dark Tetsuya, DeBlueGuy, Decipher, DJ Dark Knight, D-Man, DRP223, Game Guru, Gripper 01, Havoc 978, Hecht, Hitstun, JP the Prodigy, Justin Sane, Kells, Melted General, Mr. Nate, Misty, New Shiny CD, Nick, Nutman, Punchy, Say, Shadow Charlie, Shadow Next Gen, SSJ100, Matt, Sub-Z, Sully907, TDB30, The Raven, TM95, True, Visid, VXJSNXV, WhatUpG, Wilcon, Xlink, and Zappy. So that's it for me, Mad World, this Friday night. Not sure what we're going to exactly do. There we go. Not sure what we're going to be doing for the hardware segment. But tune in, and we'll see you next Sunday night. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.